Thank you. Yeah. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, and it has 27 verses. And the topic here is Saul chosen to be king. The study for today focuses on the Lord's providence in guiding Saul to Samuel to be anointed as the king of Israel. The study starts with Saul's physical attributes, which made him stand out as a possible candidate for a king. This is followed by Saul's journey in Israel in search of his father's lost donkeys or asses, which ultimately led him to Samuel, who was going to anoint him as the king of the people of Israel. So let's start with the introduction of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorath, the son of Appiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upwards, he was higher than any of the people. Verse 1 describes Kish, the father of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, as a mighty man of power. In the Bible, the description of a mighty man of power signifies our Lord Jesus Christ. The tribe of Benjamin represents the family of the Lord's elect, as shown in the following verses. Genesis chapter 43 and verse 34. And he took, that's Joseph, and sent mercies unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Genesis chapter 45, verse 22 says, to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and five changes of raiment. Genesis chapter 49, verse 27. It says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoil. Benjamin means son of the right hand. Here in Genesis chapter 49, verse 26, we can say that it is the Lord who is wild as a wolf in his destruction of our flesh, as he devours our flesh through his judgment, when he rises in our hearts and mind as the morning star, and in the fullness of time divides the spoil for his elect. That is, he rewards us, his elect, reward of his elect. Kish means bent. And this describes the way of the Lord, which is not straightforward. That is, Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge are so deep that it is impossible to explain his decisions or to understand his ways. Who knows how the Lord thinks? Who can become his advisor? Who gave the Lord something which the Lord must pay back? Everything is from him and by him and for him. Glory belongs to him forever. Amen. That's from God's Word version of the Bible. As indicated, Kish being a mighty man of power represents Christ. Saul means desired, which can also mean chosen. What this implies is that Saul was chosen by the Lord to become a king. The Lord has called and chosen us, his elect, to reign with him as kings in the fullness of time. So we are just like Saul at this stage of this story. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. 2 Timothy 2, 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. On a negative note, Saul also represents the leaders of the church system of this world or Babylon. His attractive physical attributes imply that the leaders of the church system of this world come with charisma, which is difficult to ignore as they sweep the lost people off their feet with their personality, such that they are not able to discern that these men of God do not represent the Lord's elect. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses.' And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of Benjamites, but they found them not." In the Bible times, owning asses signifies being physically rich, as shown in the following verses. Genesis chapter 24, verse 35. "And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flock and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." Genesis 30, 43. "And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maid servants and men servants and camels and then asses. Therefore, Saul going out in search of the asses of his father means that we start our walk with Christ in pursuit of the Lord's spiritual riches. Saul taking one of the servants of his father to search for the asses implies that in this pursuit of becoming spiritually rich in Christ, we become witnesses of Christ. Become witnesses of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." In verse 4, we are shown the cities Saul visited in search of his father's asses. The meaning of these cities that Saul and his father's servant went through have implication of what we must go through to become spiritually rich. The first place they passed through was Mount Ephraim. Ephraim means doubly fruitful. The Mount of Ephraim is the house of the Lord or the church of the Lord's elect. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." What this suggests is that to become spiritually rich or doubly fruitful, we must enter the house of the God of Jacob or the church of the Lord's elect, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. That is where we are nourished through what every joint supplies to become spiritually rich in Christ. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The next place where Saul and his father's servants went was the land of Shalisha. It is important to note that Shalisha means the The number three symbolizes the process of spiritual maturity through the Lord's judgment. This means that it is through the Lord's judgment of our flesh that we become spiritually rich in Him. The third place of the search was the land of Shalim. Shalim means foxes. And therefore, to become spiritually rich, we must take out, through the Lord's help, the foxes which spoil the vine. These foxes which impoverish us spiritually are the false prophets parading as angels of light. Sons of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 to 15 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The fourth place Saul and his father's servant went searching for the asses was the land of Benjamin. The name Benjamin means son of the right hand, which means the Lord's elect. It is in the assembly of the Lord's elect that we are empowered to become spiritually rich. The fact that in all these places, Saul and the servant did not find the asses means that becoming spiritually rich is a process which takes time. We only find these spiritual riches when we search with all our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. And that is not something that happens in a day, it's a process. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. And when they were come to the land of Zaph, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thoughts for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he says comes surely to pass. Now let us go there. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. The land of Zaph means the land of honeycomb. It is in this land of honeycomb, which signifies the rudimentary gospel of milk and honey, which causes us to ponder over the Lord's thoughts for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear, neither yet now are ye able. It was in this city that a man of God, Samuel, lived. The servant saying that Samuel can show them the way to go means that it is Christ who can show us the way we should go. What we need to understand is that Christ works through his elect, like Samuel, to show us the way to become spiritually rich in him. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. 1 Corinthians 4, 8 says, now you are poor. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7 to 10. Then says Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul, saying again, and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spoke, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well done, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. Here Samuel, the man of God, represents Christ. Saul reminded the servant that they must bring a present to the man of God. However, at that time, Saul did not have anything worth offering to Samuel. This is because the bread in his vessels was finished. The bread here represents the word of the Lord. At this stage of Saul's life, he did not know the Lord and therefore could not hear his voice. As a result, there was nothing to offer the Lord. It is when we are given to know the truth of the word of the Lord that we can offer something precious to Christ. This offering which we must bring to Christ is presenting ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In verse 8, the servants remark that he has a fourth part of silver that he will give to the man of God, implies that we must give the whole of what we have to the Lord. This whole of what we have is our bodies, which we must offer to the Lord without any reservation. Numbers chapter 23, verse 10 says, who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Which means that the fourth part of Israel is uncountable, is the same as Israel, the whole of Jacob, the whole of Israel. Let me die the death of the upright, and let me end, my end be like his. In verse 10, Saul agreeing to go to the city to see Samuel means that it is through what every joint supplies, what the servant offered, that we are able to come into the city of the Lord's elect to see Christ or to come to know him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Coming into the city of the living God. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 11 to 14. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maiden going out to draw water, and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as he become into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he does bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time you shall find him. And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. The young maiden in verse 11, it represents the churches of the Lord's elect scattered all over the world. The role of the church is to fetch water to quench the thirst of the Lord's people. The water signifies the word of the Lord, which is made available through what every joint supplies in the church of the firstborn. It is in the midst of the churches of the Lord's elect that we find the seer who symbolized the Lord Jesus Christ. Joel chapter 2, verse 27. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none other, and my people shall never be ashamed. In verses 13 and 14, it was when Saul and the servants were in the city that they met Samuel. That means that it is when we come into the church of the Lord's elect that we come to see Christ. It is instructive to note that in verse 13, Saul and the servants were told that the people will not eat until Samuel comes to bless the sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. And it is when the Lord comes to breathe over his people, the Holy Spirit, that we are given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Eating here in this case equates to being given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 20, verse 22 says, and when he has said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. As Saul and the servants entered the church of the Lord's elect, Samuel was coming towards them on his way to the worship site. This was to let us know that it is not we who are seeking after the Lord, but it is the Lord who is coming towards us to sit in our hearts and mind. That is what we call, well, that is where the worship site is actually is. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 and 12 says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I search out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Samuel came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. The Lord indeed moves in mysterious ways. The lost asses of Kish and Saul's father's request for Saul to take one of the servants to search for the lost asses were all part of the Lord's plan to bring Saul before Samuel, with the purpose of anointing him as king of Israel. In other words, the mundane activities that we engage in are all designed by the Lord for the purpose of bringing us to himself. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him? He shall become recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. It is insightful to note that the Lord told Samuel in verse 16 that Samuel shall save the people of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. As we are aware, Saul was rejected by the Lord as king later in his reign. He therefore signifies the leadership of the church system of this world, or Babylon. What this implies is that even during our time in Babylon, the Lord was gradually destroying our flesh through his judgment. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 17 to 20. And when Samuel saw Paul, Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered him, Saul, and said, I am the seer. Go up there before me into the high place for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell thee all that is in thy heart. And as for thy asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? We can see from these verses that Saul did not know Samuel. We all start our walk with Christ not knowing him. Just as Samuel told Saul to go to the high place to eat with him, so is the Lord telling us his elect to go to the church or the assembly of the Lord's elect, signified by the high place. It is in the church that we eat with the Lord, which means being fed with the truth of the Lord's word in order to know him. Just as Samuel told Saul that the important thing is to go to the high place and eat with him, and then he will tell Samuel what was in his heart. We are to focus on our gathering together to dine with the Lord through his word. It is through this that we become aware of what is in our heart, that the heart is desperately wicked and corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. It is worth noting that Samuel told Saul not to worry about the lost asses because they had been found. All that Saul had to do was to go to the high place to eat with Samuel. Our focus must be on our gathering and the word of the Lord, which is able to give us an inheritance. When we focus on him, the Lord will take care of our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In verse 20, Samuel also said that Saul is the desire of Israel. At that time, the people of Israel wanted to be like any other nation, and therefore the Lord gave them Saul, who is like them. Later, we saw how the people were disappointed in him. What the Lord is looking for in leaders are people who are loving, kind, not corrupt, etc. These qualities can only be found in the Lord's elect. That is why the scripture tells us that the desire of the people of the world is the revealing of the sons of God. When Christ comes, the sons of God shall be revealed to the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Samuel dines with Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21 to 24. And Samuel answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my father the least of all the tribes of the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speak thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servants and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of whom I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the slaughter and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time has it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Samuel did not consider Saul did not consider himself as someone who can become the king of Israel because he was from a small tribe and his family was the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. We are all like Saul. We do not deserve to be part of the Lord's elect. However, in his mercy, he has favored us and chosen us in him before the foundation of this world. Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. As we can see in verse 22, Samuel made Saul sit among those bidden to come to feast. As indicated, Samuel here represents the Lord who has raised us up in him to sit in heavenly places. Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The 30 people who were invited to the feast represent the Lord's elect who are destined to overcome to become part of the marriage feast of the Lamb. These are those who will reign over the kingdoms of this world. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46 says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. 2 Samuel 5, 4 says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Our coming together is like a feast where we eat and drink as the Lord has set apart our portion for us, just like Samuel receiving a portion from Saul. The eating and drinking is knowing the Lord through his word. In an age to come, we shall be at the marriage feast of the Lamb of the Lord, where we shall be like him, even as we come to know him as he is. As we are aware, in this life, we only know Jesus in part. However, when we see him, we shall be like him and know him as he is. The feasting and the marriage feast of the Lamb is for the purpose of knowing him as he is. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of sins. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. 1 Corinthians 13:9 10 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open faces, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 25 to 27. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose and went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. As indicated earlier, Saul was the Lord's elect at this stage of his life. Samuel communing with Saul is the Lord communing with us through his word. Therefore, Samuel communing with Saul after he had come down from the high place implies that our study of the law of the word of the Lord must not be confined to only our gathering or feasting. In our closets, we must continue to study the word of the Lord to show ourselves approved as workmen who need not be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is insightful to note that Samuel told Saul to let the servant pass on before them. In this case, the servant represents our brothers and sisters in Babylon, whom the Lord is not opening their eyes or ears to hear the word of the Lord. To our brothers and sisters in Babylon, the word of the Lord is a parable. However, to us, the Lord is showing us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, as signified by Samuel, ready to show Saul the word of the Lord in verse 27. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 13 says, the disciples came and said unto him, why speak thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. May the Lord continue to show us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven as we see the day approaching. Amen.